You're listening to an edited version of the live Voices of Montana statewide radio program. Find us on Facebook and subscribe for further podcasts wherever you get your audio on demand. I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program. Thanks for joining us, and please feel free to contact me at studio@voicesofmontana.com.
All right, let's welcome Bob Story from the Montana Taxpayers Association. Bob, appreciate your time here, and I know that you were busy with hearings this morning. Let's just go right into that. We've got a break at 9:35, and we'll have more time to unpack some things, but early on, it was the Trades Education and Training Act, and then also I think we heard about this property tax for businesses. From listening to these hearings, how do you think the legislature's going to move on these?
Well, thanks for the opportunity to visit with you. But I think the legislature at this point in time is on the same page with the governor of moving forward at this package of tax bills to hopefully put Montana in a little bit better position as competitively to grow businesses and attract businesses. So the hearing this morning on the business equipment reduction was well attended. There were probably 30 proponents and two opponents to that bill.
And that's at HB 303. I think the sponsor of that is Joshua Casimir.
Casimir, yeah.
And I'm looking at the fiscal analysis of this. How much of that do you have at hand? Can you talk about the impact of that bill?
Well, the bill is currently under Montana law. If you have $100,000 worth of business equipment or less, you're exempt from taxes on that. Or if you have more than that, the first $100,000 that you have is exempt, is a better way of saying that. This raises that exemption up to $200,000. So every business in the state of Montana will receive an additional exemption for a portion of their business equipment. Now, a small business, that will probably take their business equipment completely off of the tax rolls if they have between $100,000 and $200,000 of equipment. If you're a large business, you will get about an additional $100,000 of your equipment exempted. And there are businesses in Montana that have over $500 million in business equipment. So for them, it's a rounding error, I guess you would say. But for the average small business in Montana, the Department of Revenue figures there's around 4,000 businesses that are currently paying tax on their equipment now that will be exempt because they don't have over $200,000. They have between $100,000 and $200,000 worth of equipment.
Did you get, and thank you for that, 4,000. That's very significant in the state.
That's about half of the ones that pay business equipment tax.
And I know in this fiscal note that money is going to have an impact, and it's going to have to be made up in other areas because it's going to impact the university system, it's going to impact county revenues, it's going to impact tax increment financing. Do you feel that that loss in taxes is going to be fairly addressed and made up in this bill?
I think as well as can be done. That same question was asked in the committee, and my answer to them was, you know, the department business equipment is a hard number to determine on that fine of a scale, but the money is in the governor's budget to backfill schools and cities and counties and tax increment financing districts, the university system and so forth, so that when the full impact is hit, it's close to $4 million a year of general fund money that will flow out to those entities.
We're talking taxes today, and Bob Story is with us, Executive Director of the Montana Taxpayers Association. You can find out more. It's monttax.org. He's been 16 years in the legislature in both houses and has been an expert on taxes and a real advocate, I think, for consumers and taxpayers since then. Bob, I appreciate your time here. We kind of talked a little bit about this exemption from property tax for businesses. There was another one that talked about education and training, and it provides a 50% tax credit not to exceed $2,000 for employees to compensate them for training costs. That's another tax break that is going to have a direct impact on businesses. What are your thoughts on that?
That bill's just being heard as we speak in the House Taxation Committee. It's one of the governor's, I think Governor Gianforte, being a business person and understanding the need for trained technical people, no matter what business you're in anymore, understands the need to have those people trained and in the workforce. And as most people in Montana know, we have an aging population, an aging workforce, and a change in technology, you know, more jobs require understanding of computers and computer chips and software programs and those kind of things, just to even if you're a mechanic on a tractor. The purpose of this bill is to allow businesses who have to spend significant amount of money training people in technical areas, whether they be in high-tech areas or if whether it be plumbers or electricians, which we also need more of, to allow them to have a tax credit against their taxes owed for that training. And a tax credit is different than a deduction. You know, most people in business or even in wage earners know that when you file your taxes, you have a list of things you can deduct from your income. A credit, on the other hand, is something that you actually deduct from the taxes owed. So it's a much more powerful tool than a deduction. And this credit basically allows employers to spend some money on additional training for their workforce and use that cost to reduce the taxes that they eventually owe on the income tax system.
What's the history? Is there a history behind this bill? Has it been introduced before? Is it new this year?
I think there have been similar things talked about before, but this is a fairly new, I'd say it's a new bill. I don't recall seeing one of this magnitude before or with, you know, this much administrative support behind it. So I would call it a new concept.
I wonder how many businesses are dying to take advantage of this. Have you had any response on that?
I have not, and I've not. I think they have an estimate in the fiscal note of what it might be, but this is one of those that you don't know the real cost till you get the program up and running. And, you know, it'll take some businesses time to find the programs that are, I mean, the Department of Revenue will set up rules that basically say these kind of programs are permissible. And so those are the kind of things that take some time to work out. But overall, it's a fairly good policy.
Yeah, and because I think it carries forward. I mean, I think businesses will benefit. I think employers or employees will benefit as well. And hopefully that comes back and, you know, increased production and increased profitability for businesses. And there's only, as you said, it's relatively small, a $1 million impact, according to the fiscal analysis. And I think that money can easily get paid back. Bob Story is with us, Executive Director of the Montana Taxpayers Association. Let's go to Senate Bill 159. It'll be in hearing on Thursday. And this is the one that reduces the top income tax rate from 6.95 to 6.75. You know, and those numbers, Bob, don't seem like it's real significant, but I think maybe the significant impact is in making Montana competitive with other states. Is that right?
That's the intent of the bill. In 2003, Montana's top income tax rate was 11.9%, and the at that time, the Governor Martz and the administration brought forth a bill to reduce that rate down to 6.9% and do some other adjustments to the income tax system to try to get us back in the realm of competitiveness with the Rocky Mountain states. It's been almost 20 years since that took place, and we're starting to slip behind again as far as what our top tax rates are. And so the goal of the administration, as I understand it, is to gradually reduce that rate down to where we get back in the average of the surrounding states, which is around 6.5%. So this bill is a modest start in that move. In Montana, we have a graduated income tax system where you pay 1% on a portion, 2% on a little more. Eventually, you get up to where you pay the top rate of 6.9%, and about half of the income tax filers in Montana pay that 6.9% on some portion of their income, whether it's a small portion or a large portion. And so it will actually have some effect on almost half the income tax filers in Montana.
There's another one before we run out of time here, a couple more actually, and these are going to be later on in the week. If you want to find out more information, you guys go ahead and go to montanatax.org, because you can testify in favor or against some of these measures here. Let's skip over to Senate Bill 181. And this one's a bit complicated, so I wonder what the dynamics is regarding it. It's, as the short title is here, changes the apportionment of corporate income tax from a three-factor formula of payroll, property, and receipts to a single-factor formula of receipts only.
So corporations that operate in a multiple of states have to have some way of apportioning where they pay their taxes because, you know, every state can't collect taxes on that corporation's total income. And so there's been in place for years and years compacts between the states that basically say, here's how we're going to apportion income. And most states back many years apportioned income on a formula that basically says what percent of your payroll, property, and receipts are in Montana compared to what your total payroll, property, and receipts are in all the states you work in. And then whatever your net or taxable income is, Montana gets their proportion of that tax. A lot of states have, because of the way the economies have changed, a lot of states have moved to more of a sales-weighted factor, either single sales or some weighting of sales, because property and payroll aren't as important in a lot of businesses as they were in the previous century when you had more heavy industry. And so by moving to a single sales factor in Montana, you basically encourage the development of manufacturing and production in Montana and hiring employees in Montana and selling, exporting your goods and services out of state. And if you do all of those three things, then your tax burden in Montana will be fairly small. And that's the goal of the administration and making this move, is to try to attract businesses and jobs to Montana.
It's another interesting, and it kind of goes to show how complicated taxes can be. And so I appreciate somebody who can come on and wrap their head around them. This also kind of relates to the discussion regarding our changing tax structure, although this is corporate income tax, but we've relied an awful lot on our natural resource industry. That has had a lessening impact on our overall tax revenues as the years have gone by. And there was an interim committee to discuss and study a sales tax, which apparently is really not going to go anywhere in Montana, at least right now. But the more I look at it, Bob, and I think you guys have supported the sales tax for a number of reasons. The more I look at it, I'm starting to kind of get on board if we can reduce our property taxes and maybe rebate full-time Montanans. Why don't you go into that? You guys do support a sales tax, right?
We do. We think that the burden on the property tax system is overwhelming for most folks. And, of course, that property tax is fund city, county, and schools for the most part. The state doesn't operate on that, but it's a big burden on people, and it's a deterrent to, again, expanding the economy and attracting business. So, yeah, the trick is, I mean, right now politically, sales tax isn't viable, I would guess. You basically run into what you talked about. How do you reduce the other or taxes, the income or the property tax, or eliminate them with the sales tax? It's almost impossible to eliminate either one of those with the sales tax because of the amount of revenue both of those bring in and the limits we have on sales tax in Montana. But if we were to have one, but really the issue is most of Montanans don't want a sales tax, so at least on a statewide general basis, so it's hard to go there. But so then you're always trying to rearrange the deck chairs with the taxes that we have, and in the end, you know, you still run into the problem of too much dependence on particularly property tax to operate government.
And there's a decision from, I think it was the Supreme Court, related to South Dakota. I don't know the name of it. I don't remember the name of it right now. But as I looked into it, it really, I think, sharpens the focus on the necessity in the next economy, which is going to be an awful lot of an electronic economy, to have a sales tax. We're going to be missing out.
You need to have some way to, well, first of all, Montana with its current system is kind of based in the industrial age of taxation where you have captive businesses that you can tax. Well, right now our problem in Montana is with the internet sales and those types of things is you have businesses selling into Montana who don't have to pay either income or property taxes and competing against businesses in Montana who not only have to pay those taxes but also have to deal with transportation costs, inventory costs, and those kind of things. So you have a pretty unlevel playing field for Montana brick and mortar companies against internet sales. And part of this corporate realignment that we talked about earlier is to address some of that. So if a company sells into Montana, now they'll be subject to at least our corporate income tax. But the other issue is, as you said, as the economies change and as retail sales change and all of that, you know, you only have to go into any town of Montana and see the vacant big box stores and the vacant storefronts and those kind of properties that are no longer on the tax rolls or providing jobs and income tax and those kind of things. And so you have to start thinking about modernizing the system so that at least you have a level playing field for people who want to operate a business here in Montana and those who are outside the state or outside the country and selling into Montana.
Yep. Thank you for summarizing that. I recall it's pretty important moving forward, and I know it's going to take an education effort, and I appreciate you getting out there and doing that, Bob. And I'm looking forward to catching up with you as well as these tax packages move forward. Maybe there's amendments that will come out of them, but always appreciate your expertise, Bob. And I know you're busy, so thanks for taking time this morning.
You bet.
Bob Story, Executive Director of the Montana Taxpayers Association.